Here we are, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the show. I'm Dr. TJ. With me, as always, is Aaron.
Hi.
She spoke immediately, ladies and gentlemen. It's an ongoing joke on the show if you're new to the show. Sometimes Aaron stares at us in silence, and sometimes she actually says hi. Yep. Today she said hi.
It's your lucky day.
Lucky us. So we have an interesting topic for today. Today's topic, we're going to talk about skin health. This is one of those that we get tons and tons of questions regarding, what can I do to make my skin clearer? How can I help my, skin do this? I have this skin problem. What do you think of this? I have that skin problem. What do you think of that? You know, is there anything nutritionally that can help with this, that, or the other?
Right. Well, and I think that so many people are dealing with skin issues and they have seen a dermatologist and have been given some sort of medication or
some cream, just rub this cream
on something. And they're usually told, well, we don't really know what causes it. Or, you're just one of the unlucky people who seem to have this problem. So this is how you fix it.
Yeah.
But we know
it's like you caught the hives.
Right. Exactly. There is absolutely no investigation into what might be causing it. And I can say for me personally, it's a huge motivator when I have, things that go on with my skin that was one of the big reasons why I ended up figuring out all my food sensitivities was because I was having skin issues. And that's when it's on your face and very visible to other people, it's a huge motivator to be like, okay, let's figure this out. So I think that's why, not only do we get a lot of questions about these skin issues, but a lot of people are shocked when they come in with more serious health problems, and then they're thrilled that skin issues end up going away.
Yeah, their skin just cleared right on up for them.
Yeah, it seems like
what in the world happened?
Right.
We didn't even discuss this when we were first in here, that I have, acne all over my back, and now it's gone.
Right. Yeah,
or eczema,
a lot of times when we get skin issue, that come in, people come in for skin issues, a lot of times it's for children because parents are like, what can I do? They know that, they shouldn't be putting these prescription creams all over their children.
Right.
It's funny how as adults, we seem to tell ourselves that that's okay for us. But when it comes to your child, you're like, wait a second, something else has to be going on. But then we have a lot of adults who have been using these creams for years, maybe gone through, numerous ones with, maybe some relief. But when they're able to quit using it, it's, mind blowing. Like, oh my gosh, this was all tied together, which is really what we talk about so much on the show.
Right. Yeah. It's all tied together. So some of the skin issues that we're talking about, for those of you out there who may not have skin problems and are curious, what exactly are you referring to? We're talking about things like acne, like I mentioned, things like rosacea or dry skin, just plain old dry skin can be an issue as well. Wrinkles, especially if they're premature wrinkles. If you're getting wrinkles, at a very young age, that's not a normal thing to have happen.
But also, we have people in their, 60s and 70s who have been, come in and said, oh my gosh, I had no idea that I was looking that old because of things happening with my body nutritionally. People assign a lot of that, to age, where it a lot of times isn't.
Yeah. And so if you're suffering with stuff like this.
Right. And psoriasis and eczema, things like that.
Yeah.
Also.
Oh, yeah. I forgot. Psoriasis and eczema. That's good.
Those are big ones.
Yeah. Those are actually probably the two biggest drivers of people coming in to our office trying to figure out, okay, what's causing my psoriasis and eczema? Because they're starting to be more information out there basically on a daily basis talking about how psoriasis and eczema are very intimately tied with diet. Well, it's not really, it is diet, don't get me wrong, but it's what our body is doing with the food that's coming in. Are we sensitive to it? Is it inflammatory for our system? Is it creating a problem for us? That's where what we do can come in and help people by figuring out what the triggers are, and then giving their body the nutrition that they need to actually fix the problem.
Right, and we're seeing, and I think we in the clinic, but also, you know, overall, we know that eczema and psoriasis are increasing among the population in general, especially we're seeing children younger and younger suffering.
This is a very scientific way to know this. The number of commercials for eczema and psoriasis are skyrocketing. So knowing what the commercials are for just tells you where the problems are. The doctors are seeing this more and more.
Yes.
So if you're suffering with one of those, like it's extreme. All of our patients talk about how frustrated, upset, disappointed, sad, heartbroken, whatever it is, they become when they're not able to find an answer or a solution to their problem that they have going on with them.
Right.
Because at that point, it doesn't matter how many millions of other people have this thing going on.
Right.
It's all about you because it's your face. It's your arm.
Right. You can go to dermatologists till you are literally blue in the face. Maybe I shouldn't have said literally there to your
figuratively blue in the face.
But I mean, and you're not going to even find one generally who will even look for what the cause is.
Right.
I mean, they may try different prescription creams. I mean, it's just one of the big issues we've talked about with all chronic problems in conventional medicine, but skin issues are certainly one of those. And it's chronic, it's devastating. And no one is looking for the cause.
Right. And what's really frustrating is it seems that most of, maybe not all conventional medical doctors, but the majority seem to just basically discount and poo-poo the idea that there is a connection between skin health and nutrition and skin health and our gut health. But there's a lot of evidence to say otherwise. There's a lot of evidence out there that says, okay, the foods that you eat definitely have an effect on your skin health. I mean, you look at somebody who eats, you know, fast food every single day of their life, they look a little different than someone who has eaten organic, fresh, you know, foods, meats, and vegetables their life.
Right. You can definitely tell a difference.
You can tell. They have a different appearance about them.
Right.
So... basically, today's show, we're just going to be talking about how, you know, foods and diet, supplementation, adequate levels of nutrition, things like that can really help alleviate things like acne, decrease wrinkles, maybe even get rid of them, depending on, you know, how old you are and what you have going on. And then we're going to talk a little bit about the gut and skin connection and how this stuff goes. And I say today's show, let's be honest, this might be a couple shows, maybe more. I'm not really sure. We just know that there's a huge demand, people asking for this sort of information.
Right. And there are a lot of things, you know, that you can do at home that we can point you to and say, okay, these are things that we know will help skin health. And then there are a lot of things that, you know, we've talked about with other topics that you may want to look into getting tested for if you are dealing with these issues.
Yeah. So, well, brief history here. The connection between gut health and skin health goes back to about the 1930s-ish era. That's when researchers kind of started suspecting that there was a link. There were some clinicians that were suspecting the link. And so research... kind of a new field emerged, basically, that gave researchers something to look at. And I mean, the researchers are suggesting that there's a link. I'm telling you, as a clinician, there is definitely a link. And now we're starting to see associations between gut disorders and skin disorders. There's epidemiologic studies, and for those of you who may not know what epidemiologic studies means, that's a long-term study. That's a study that has gone on over, you know, 10, 20, 30 years, looking at lots of different people and following them for as long as possible to see, you know, outcomes. And so that's what an epidemiologic study shows. And it's showing that there is a big association, a very clear association between gut problems and skin health.
Right. And I know I recently read an article that, you know, research has shown that women who breastfeed typically have children who are the risk of eczema and psoriasis is lower in children who are breastfed.
Right.
And again, I, you know, while they haven't really, you know, done this precise research to show this. I mean, that comes down to a gut issue,
right,
most likely, because if children are given formula, not to say that that's going to, you know, that they're definitely going to have eczema or psoriasis,
right,
but they have a greater likelihood of being sensitive to something in formula than they do to breast milk. They're
right.
just a higher likelihood. And those gut issues.
There's more allergens. There's more chemicals.
Right. I mean, it's just, stuff. It is what it is. And that's certainly not to say that, you know, children who are formula fed can't be healthy.
Right.
But it, again, is just more evidence that there is a connection here between the way the gut functions and the health of someone's skin.
Right. So there's... It's very true. And it's funny. I know that there are studies out there, and I can't pull them off the top of my head, but I know that there are studies out there that look at and compare children, the health of children who are breastfed versus the health of children who are formula fed. And I mean, if you get into that whole debate, it's really hard to like sift through the noise because those studies are long drawn out. And they really, I mean, all those types of studies do is just show, okay, yeah, there's maybe an association. There are a lot of other studies out there that are better to decipher out, okay, this actually is healthier. I mean, you know, as far as human babies go, breastfeeding is by far the best choice to go as far as feeding them for their first 6 to 12 months of life, just basically breast milk only.
But if you can't do that, there are certainly things that we, you know, I mean,
there are things that you can do.
You can do to make sure your child is very healthy.
That's right. Because it's not for everyone. And some people, it just doesn't work out that way.
Right.
And that's okay. All right. We've got to take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit more about gut function and skin health. You're listening to Wellness 101. We were talking before the break about the connection between gut health and skin health. And we were talking about breastfeeding as a great way to feed a baby to decrease their risk of developing skin conditions, eczema and psoriasis and things like that. And I mean, just a little statistical information for you out there. 14% of ulcerative colitis patients and 24% of patients with Crohn's disease have skin manifestations of that disease. So that means they have something going on with their skin that is associated with those conditions. And there are a lot of people that have ulcerative colitis and or Crohn's disease.
Right. And I'm sure, you know, we probably see, you know, a much larger portion of that population than other people.
Right.
But it's amazing how many people come into our office with those conditions.
Right. And another one is celiac patients. A lot of times, well, I say a lot, a quarter, 1 in 4 celiac patients, which to me is a lot, have skin manifestations as well. They get this thing called... it's called dermatitis herpetiformis. It's just this very specific skin thing that goes on with people that have celiac. And, you know, I mean, if you got a 25% chance of having something like that, I mean, that's pretty high.
Right. No,
that's
exactly. And I can say from personal experience, once I found out that I had celiac and eliminated gluten, skin conditions improved dramatically. I mean, I had I didn't have necessarily what they're talking about here, but dry patches, like just strange, weird dry patches on my face at times. I mean, things that nobody could really, you know, explain. I don't have to worry about those anymore, which is huge.
And when you have stuff like that, your dermatologist will oftentimes, maybe even your primary, I'm not sure, will oftentimes scrape that, send those cells off to get them tested, and they come back as just like negative.
They come back as nothing.
It's nothing. You're just fine. Here, just put a little steroid cream on it, and you'll be fine.
Exactly.
That's the answer. And the problem is that's not the answer. That you got to figure out what's actually causing that thing to happen.
Right. And we know that these things are connected. You know, he had mentioned Crohn's disease, and there was a study that came out showing that a drug that's normally used to treat psoriasis, they've now found is also effective for Crohn's disease. So clearly there's a connection here.
Well, they're both autoimmune conditions.
Yeah.
So it's amazing that one drug that works for one autoimmune condition would work for another autoimmune condition. That is unbelievable.
Right.
Holy cow.
There's also a recent report indicating that small intestine and bacterial overgrowth, or SIBO, which I know we've talked about on the show before, which is, for those of you who don't know, a condition involving the inappropriate growth of bacteria in the small intestine.
Just an overgrowth.
Right.
You got a lot of it.
But it's an overgrowth in your small intestine.
Right. As of bacteria
to somewhere.
Of a bacteria that's normally present. It's an overgrowth of stuff that should be there. It's not stuff that's not supposed to be there. It should be there, but you just have a lot of it.
But you have too much of it. Yeah. Right. But those people who have that issue are 10 times more likely to have acne rosacea than those in the healthy population.
Right.
And if they get that condition under control, they see a marked improvement in those symptoms.
Yeah, so their acne gets better.
Right, which, I mean, is certainly what we see in our own clinic.
Exactly. So many of you out there may be asking, if you've never heard of this before, then how is it that this, you know, our gut is, you know, if it's not functioning right, how is that directly related or impacting our skin? And it has to do with this concept called intestinal permeability, which the common term for that's been adopted by a lot of people is just the term leaky gut. It explains kind of what's going on. When you have increased intestinal permeability or you have leaky gut, you have a systemic inflammation process that's going on, but you also have a local inflammation that's going on. And it's that inflammatory response that leads to skin issues. That's one of the big contributing factors. I mean, back in 1916, there was a study and they looked at acne patients, and acne patients were more likely to show enhanced reactivity to bacterial strains isolated from stool. How fun of a study would that have been to be in?
Well, I mean, it shows that we knew this so far back.
Right, 1916, but I was just trying to make a little joke about it. Yeah. Trying to lighten the mood a little bit. Aaron goes right back to serious. Well, back to the show, ladies and gentlemen. So what they found was 66% of the patients involved, and there were like 60 patients in this, with the acne in the study showed positive reactivity to the stool isolated bacteria compared to none of the control patients that didn't have any active skin disease. So something going on in their gut was reacting on their skin. That is a direct correlation. Now, I mean, I don't know if you're going to be able to do a study like that nowadays, but the fact that we did it then and it showed results, and we're finding other things that are showing us very similar results, like, you know, testing looking for leaky gut and other things are a lot of easier ways to test for like leaky gut. That's a very simple thing to test for, and showing, you know, when you fix that, when you heal that gut and decrease that inflammation, people's skin gets better. That's pretty powerful stuff. That's pretty powerful.
No, exactly.
So with these permeable barriers, a lot of people have heard about leaky gut, but has anyone out there heard of leaky skin? So the main function of the skin is to act as just this big barrier. It's a physical barrier, it's a chemical barrier, and it's a part of our defense system. It keeps microbes, bacteria, viruses, things like that out. And studies are out there that show that if you have stress and gut inflammation, you actually can impair the integrity and the protective function of the epidermis of the skin, which is the outer layer of the skin. So when that happens, that leads to a decrease in the antimicrobial peptides that the skin makes. So it's these proteins that the skin makes to fight off bacteria. And an increase in the severity of the infection and inflammation in the skin. So if you have leaky gut, you will more likely have this leaky skin. That's another thing that's just tying this gut function to skin health issue. I mean, a lot of people, I mean, we see this over and over and over again, just fixing people's gut, giving them the nutrition that they need, and their skin heals.
Right, exactly. Well, and I mean, gut has to be the first thing that you address. I mean, that's not to say that gut health is going to clear up everything. We have certainly seen situations where it hasn't. There are other things going on that, you know, I mean, you could have other sorts of infections. There could be other problems that are contributing to it. But as we've said before, if you don't know that the gut is functioning properly, anything we give you, I mean, you know, we're going to talk about different supplements, different things that you can take, you know, on your own to help improve your skin health. None of those are going to do you much good if your gut isn't functioning, because you're taking oral supplements. It's got to go through the gut. So if, I mean, it's kind of, you know, the problem just kind of compounds, and it, if, you know, the gut has to be where you start.
Yeah, exactly. So the gut makes this stuff called substance P. It's made in the gut and the brain and the skin. And it plays a big role in skin issues, skin conditions, skin problems. If our gut microflora, the bacteria in our gut, are altered, that promotes the release of this stuff called substance P in both our gut and our skin. And one thing that has been shown is that probiotics can slow that response down. Now, probiotics, they're not the end-all be-all that everyone wants to think that they are. They're good, but if you're taking a probiotic, they're, you know, once you stop taking them, if you haven't healed that gut, within a couple of weeks, it's going right back to where it was. So there are a lot of other things that have to take place. And I'm not saying probiotics aren't a great thing, because for a lot of people they are, but they're. I'm just saying that they're not the answer.
It's not a cure all, and that's really what I think. It's, you know, we see this with a lot of, you know, conventional medicine, medical doctors and nurses. We have a lot of people that come in and say, it was recommended to me that I take a probiotic. Or that, you know, I eat more yogurt or something.
But they don't tell them what strains, why they need to take it, which one to go get. They just say, oh, take a probiotic, because they have no clue that there's a million different things out there.
Right. So not only do they go and get something over the counter that probably is going to do them no good, but if their gut is not functioning properly, it's not doing them, it's not giving them the benefits that it can. So while probiotics are great, we a lot of times have people start taking probiotics because they can be extremely beneficial. It's not... like that, it's not nearly that simple for most people.
Right. If you want to make your food or make your probiotics work better, get your food sensitivities tested, figure out what you should not be eating, stop eating that, and then populate that gut flora back to kind of an area that it needs to be. But there are still other steps that you need to do before you put good bacteria back in.
Right. I
mean, you got to heal and repair that thing. You got to seal that gut up back to its original healthy functioning state.
Exactly. And if you're going to begin taking a probiotic, do your research, make sure that you're finding one that is going to be strong enough to actually do some good. We don't generally promote products on this show, but give her office a call. I mean, we do put patients on probiotics all the time, and there is a huge difference between different brands of probiotics and what they're good for and which ones can actually do something. If you're buying it over the counter at your drugstore or at your grocery store, it's probably not doing you any good, even though I know a lot of people come in and say, that's exactly what I was told to do.
Right, exactly. And there are a few out there that are solid, reputable things, but a lot of them just aren't. Unfortunately, that's just the world that we live in.
Right, and our goal is always to keep you from throwing your money away.
Right.
So if you're going to spend the money on something, let us at least help you choose the ones that are going to benefit you.
Right. All right. We've got to take another break. When we come back, we're going to start talking about what to include in your healthy skin diet. You're listening to Wellness 101. If you're just tuning in, we are talking today and probably next week too about skin health. We were talking before the break about probiotics and how a lot of doctors have, you know, latched onto probiotics as like the end-all be-all of helping, you know, gut health. And unfortunately, that's not quite true. But, you know, there are a couple things before we move on and talk about things to include in your diet. I do want to talk a little bit about, you know, some probiotics and research that was done. The very first study that was actually a formal case report that was published on using lactobacilli, which is a type of probiotic, to treat skin conditions, was published back in 1961. It was done so by this guy by the name of Robert, I think Siver, maybe Silver. I'm not sure. I wrote it really. It's kind of sloppy. I think it's maybe Siver. But he followed about 300 patients around, and they just gave him a commercially available probiotic. He found that 80% of the people with acne had some sort of clinical improvement with their by taking the product. So that's pretty impressive to start seeing, you know, improvement with just a probiotic that was out there. They just picked up off the shelf and said, here, try this one. This is the one we're going to study and see if it has any effect. And it had a positive effect on 80% of the people.
Right, which is huge. I mean, if, you know, pharmaceuticals required that much of an improvement, we would have a lot less pharmaceuticals out there.
Right.
So, I mean, that really is, it's a big deal.
Right. And there's a couple other studies out there that basically find the same thing. There's improved clinical benefit in taking them. This what you notice over the looking at the research is the structure, the rigidity of the study is just getting more and more rigid, more and more structured, down to, you know, very specific timeline of this and this and this. And so, you know, they're seeing similar results, but the benefit of the probiotics on the skin is—it's possible that this can explain why pasteurized, unfermented dairy is associated with acne, but fermented dairy is not. Now, granted, there's not—I don't know if they're out there. I haven't seen them. I don't know about them. Studies on raw dairy and skin condition, because I know that there are people out there that obtain raw milk or drink raw dairy or eat raw cheese or whatever it is. But I mean, I don't know about that one, but when you consume probiotics, there's a reduction in systemic markers of inflammation and oxidative stress, which are both typically elevated locally in people that have acne. That's why, like, there are things. I was watching something the other day, and they had a doctor come to their house, and the person had some acne, and they actually did an injection right there to help heal up the acne. And so that just tells me that it's a local inflammatory response going on. And, you know, anything that you can do to reduce the inflammation is going to help. But we know long term that sort of stuff doesn't work either. We've got to fix and heal the body from the inside out and let it function the best that it possibly can.
Right. And I know they do cortisone injections for acne. I mean, they can
do
that's
what it was, cortisone.
And that's certainly something that can help. And it makes sense that would make a difference. But a lot of times, you know, with that, we're talking about cystic acne. And I know from my own experience, I mean, we talk about dairy, that dairy is something that's, you know, we're actually going to talk about biotin later in the show, which is great for skin, except if you have an issue with it, which I happen to. So biotin and dairy are the two things that have caused cystic acne in my skin. But that's why, I mean, we know that, I mean, by removing dairy from my diet, it has made a tremendous difference. And I think that's something that we see so often so many other different foods and different issues can cause different skin problems, but dairy is one that is a huge culprit for a lot of people.
Right. Yeah. And a lot of people like to say, oh no, I'm lactose intolerant. You're likely not lactose intolerant. Lactose is a sugar in the dairy. It's oftentimes not the lactose. It is more likely the proteins, the casein or the whey in the dairy that you're actually sensitive to.
Right.
Is creating a problem.
Or you can be like me and have sensitivity to all of the elements of dairy.
All of the
which
above.
Is unfortunate. But like I said,
she's sensitive to the cow in the field.
But if there's one way to get you to change, and I mean, you know, I know TJ can attest to this, it's, you know, having it show up on your face. I mean,
yep.
It is really hard. I have people who say, you know, how can you give up cheese? How can you give up? And I'm like, well, you know, that's it. Like,
yeah.
If when you eat it, you have, you know, these, you know, huge skin issues that everyone can see, that's
yep.
a big motivator to take it out of your diet.
That's exactly
But
right.
It's amazing how many people have those issues. And it's, you know, and like I said, they'll go to dermatologists. It'll never even be brought up.
Right.
So it's never even suggested. So they have no idea that, just, you know, a small fix could make such a big difference.
Yeah. So that's enough about probiotics. So let's shift gears a little bit and start talking more about, you know, vitamins, minerals, and other things that you can consume that can have a very beneficial effect on your skin. It's, you know, oftentimes these are relatively effective ways to treat skin conditions and help you heal them in a more natural way. Now, remember, when we're talking about this stuff, I want to preface this with, you know, this isn't a, oh, if you have this, this is the thing that you need. Everybody's different. A human body isn't just deficient in like one thing. If your vitamin D level is low, if you've been to the doctor and they tell you your vitamin D is low, I promise you, you have a lot of other things that are low as well. They just didn't look. And that goes across the board. So as we're talking about these are not things that you just, oh, I just need a little vitamin A, or oh, I just need a little of this, or just a little of that, or a little of something else. It doesn't work like that. Most likely you're going to need a bunch of these, if not all of these, because the human body is very good at robbing Peter to pay Paul to keep ourselves functioning, and not really, the body really doesn't care what the skin looks like.
Right, exactly.
To stay alive.
It cares how well you're functioning.
Right.
And that's one of the reasons why, you know, if someone comes in for a skin issue or something else, why the testing that we do in our clinic is so much more extensive than other places, because it does us no good to look at just a few specific things when the main problem could be somewhere else entirely.
Right. And then to piggyback that, then we have to follow up test. We have to test again. You know, you can't have success without measuring things. There's no possible way to know what's working, what's not working, if you're not testing and retesting and testing again to make sure that things are moving in the direction that you want them to move. That's just common sense right there.
Right. I mean, skin health is one of those that, you know, more than probably a lot of the other conditions, you can see it.
Right.
And so that does make it, you know, that's helpful when you're trying to figure out what is causing the problem. But we do want to go through a number of these things so that those of you at home who are not able to come in know, okay, what things should you be looking at that can actually help improve your skin?
Yeah. So the first thing you got to do is make sure that if you're not getting your food sensitivities and you're just not doing that for whatever reason, I can't figure out why you wouldn't do that. But if you're not, making sure that you're eating lean protein, lots of it. Most people in this country, I believe, are protein deficient. We don't get nearly enough. When you start telling people, yeah, you actually need to eat, you know, this much protein, and they're like, well, how much is that? And I explain it to them. They're like, holy cow, I could never eat that much. And then 4 weeks later, they're like, oh my gosh, I don't know how I lived without eating all this, because I feel like I have so much more energy. I can do so many things. I feel so much better. I'm like, yes, exactly. So eating lots of lean, healthy meats, lots of fresh organic vegetables, tons of those, whatever, you know, you can get your hands on.
Right.
Lots of good, healthy fats, olive oils, avocados, things like that.
One of the big things, I mean, we talk about a lot is, you know, I mean, the whole just eat real food. You know, they should be whole foods.
Yep.
They should, as much as possible. And I think we all know that, right? You know that for, you know, health in general, and it certainly applies to the health of your skin. That if you are eating, you know, prepackaged or, you know, fast food, of course, it's not going to give you the nutrients that you need,
right,
like a whole food diet would.
And if something says that it's fortified with something, what that is code word for is, this means that all of the actual nutrients in this were destroyed, all the vitamins were destroyed, and we had to add them back by fortifying it to actually have some nutritional value.
Well, and it's
really what that boils down to.
And when I have people, because I, you know, I've had people ask me a lot, like, well, what do you do, for your skin? What is the, you know, what things are you eating that are making a difference? And like TJ had said, I mean, my recommendation is always get your food sensitivities checked.
Yep.
I mean, that's huge. If you don't want to do that, as far as I'm concerned, you need to cut out sugar, flour, and dairy. And most people don't want to do that. but you can't.
Most people have a stroke when you say that.
They don't want to cut that out. They don't want to do the food sensitivity test, and then they don't want to have skin issues.
Right.
And you're like, well.
Pick one.
Right? I mean, yeah. So.
All right. We got to take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk about some specifics. We're going to rattle off a few specific nutrients that you're going to need. And then we're going to get into why each of those are important. You're listening to Wellness 101. Rolling in with a little fog hat. I mean, gotta love fog hat. I love it. I got thrown by the bumper music. I wasn't prepared, Liz. I wasn't prepared.
Fog hat makes everything better.
It does. It does. Huh. I feel better now. So before the break, Aaron was talking about how, you know, if you're not going to get your food sensitivities, cut out the big three, get rid of sugar, get rid of white flour or flour in general, and get rid of
dairy. The three white poisons.
Yeah, I blanked. The three white poisons. Get rid of those. And if you're not willing to give up those three, then you're going to have to live with the fact that you got some skin conditions.
Right. You either have skin conditions, you get your food sensitivities checked, or you eliminate those three, and they will probably make a big difference.
Right.
You know.
I mean, you may actually be able to, dairy may be something that you're actually not sensitive to. It does happen. And maybe you get to keep eating dairy, but you realize that, you know, the coffee that you drink every day, three pots of, is actually a huge problem for you. And so you stop drinking all the coffee, and holy cow, your skin clears right up.
Right.
Huh. Imagine that.
Yeah.
So that's the stuff that we're talking about here.
Yeah, it's one of my, pet peeves, and I know TJ hears this from me a lot, is when people will complain about, things, and skin issues is one of them. Weight is another that I hear a lot,
yep.
But or pain, but they don't want to do anything. They don't want to do the basic tests even that we would suggest to figure out what the problem is. And that blows my mind. As someone who dealt with chronic issues for such a long time, it's so frustrating to me when people won't even take the simple steps to try to make something better. They haven't even gotten to the point that they know. I mean, and it's one thing to get the test done and be like, okay, I'm having trouble eliminating, these foods. Well, we can help you with that. But there are so many people who are like, I don't even want to know. And I will never understand.
Yeah.
It makes no sense.
I don't understand that either. It's always better to know. So from a realistic standpoint, there's some other nutrients that you need to be paying attention to. And I'm going to rattle them all off so you kind of know like where we're going in our next episode of
and you'll know why this is not going to be done in one episode.
Yeah,
there are quite a few.
There are a lot of them. So things that we're going to talk about, vitamin A and why it's important, zinc, vitamin C, omega-3 fatty acids, biotin, selenium, silica, niacin, vitamin K2. We're going to talk a little bit about probiotics and gut health again. We'll just kind of go back through that just a smidgen. Sulfur, vitamin E, and pantothenic acid or vitamin B5. I mean, that's a lot of stuff there. And all of these are very, very important for skin health and in their own special ways. And so as we go through these, you're going to see, okay, that's why this is important. That's why I need to be, paying attention to this. That's why I need to eat these types of foods to be able to get these types of nutrients in my body. But let's be honest, if your gut's not functioning, you can eat it all day. You may not be absorbing it.
Right.
And that's the problem.
Right. And you could take supplements for it.
And you may not absorb those.
And you may not absorb them.
Yeah. Especially if you're taking very poor forms that are not very absorbable.
And that's another reason why with all of the IV nutrition that we do in our office, so many people who have not even had testing will say, that's one thing that we hear all the time is my skin looks so much better. Like, yeah, because you're getting a lot of the nutrients that you're probably not, getting from food, even if you're taking them in. If your gut, it bypasses the gut. So we know that they're getting into your system. And so many people are so nutrient deficient that simply getting these nutrients into your body makes an enormous difference.
Yeah. Yeah. The deficiency is just, it's crazy. So let's talk about one of these. Let's talk about vitamin A a little bit. We've got a few more minutes before the show's before our time's up today. So vitamin A, or is also known as retinol, is a very widely acknowledged skin health nutrient. Lots of things. Synthetic retinoids, they've been around for a long time. They've been used for acne and psoriasis since the 80s. I believe the medication that was a synthetic retinoid was Accutane. Is that right?
Was that a retinoid? I don't know. Yeah, there are a lot of them.
I don't know. I'm not sure on that.
I mean, dermatologists recommend that everyone, you know, once you get to, you know, when you're in your 20s, I think, like you're put on a retinoid of some sort.
And she knows because she's 23 years old, ladies and gentlemen. So, yes. So vitamin A does a lot for the body. So it helps to differentiate the cells of our epidermis. That's a big thing. That's our outer most protective layer of our skin. It helps modulate dermal growth factors. And that matters because that's how, you know, the dermis is the second layer of the skin. And, you know, it can help modulate those growth factors to help us with to not develop things like skin cancers and things like that. It inhibits sebaceous gland activity. So our sebaceous glands, if they become overactive, a lot of times they will clog. And that's a source of acne. We'll get some bacteria in there. And they will suppress androgen formation. Now, I know, guys, if you're out there listening, a lot of guys probably tuned off when we said we were talking about skin health, but suppressing androgen formation doesn't mean that you're not going to make testosterone. That's not what we're talking about. There are, you know, several thousand androgens in the human body. There are a lot of derivatives and such. But it's helping decrease those that are you know, creating the acne associated with androgens. Lack of vitamin A causes the skin to become keratinized and scaly, and mucus secretion is suppressed. So we have, you know, less protection. So we get this rough, dry skin that we'll see. A lot of times we just tell people, look, this is a big red flag for vitamin A deficiency. You'll see it as a rough patch on the back of the arms. That's a one as well. There's this condition called hyperkeratosis pilaris that's found in 40% of adults. That's those rough raised bumps on the back of the arms. Now, you need someone to look at it to be able to say, yes, that's what this is.
Right, but there are going to be a lot of people listening who are like, oh, I know what that is.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, it's so prevalent.
Right, exactly. And, you know, physicians are going to prescribe synthetic retinoids to treat these things like acne, eczema, psoriasis, cold sores, wounds, burns. What else out there? Sunburn. Did I say that? I don't remember. You know, but there are better sources than a synthetic retinoid. Vitamin A rich foods would be things like liver, cod liver oil. Those are high in vitamin A. Other sources would be like kidney cream and butter from pasteurized cows. We talked about dairy here, but you know it's still there. So pasture raised cows, not pasteurized, pasture raised. Egg yolks from chickens who are free range pastured chickens. And then there are some really good vitamin A supplements out there, but you got to know what you're looking for. And, you know, stick with a good, high quality.
And you can overdose on vitamin A, correct?
Yeah. Vitamin A is a fat-soluble vitamin. You can take way too much. If you get too much, your palms will turn orange and your liver will get really mad at you. So you got to be careful not to go overboard on that. Safe upper limit for pregnant women per day is 5,000 IUs. It's international units. So you got to be careful with that. I tell most people, just kind of stick around that.
Right. Or get tested.
And, you know, we can work with that. So, all right. So that's all the time we've got for today. Next week, we're going to talk about more about all of those nutrients. In the meantime, follow us on Facebook. Send us an email. Follow us on Instagram. We're always posting stuff out there. Shoot us messages. We like to hear from you. Give us calls. Our phone number, if you want to call us, 314-293-8123. Be happy to talk with you. So for Aaron, I'm Dr. TJ. This has been Wellness 101. Thanks for listening.